Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
CRC Music Making Rivers, beautiful one there on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, and before Sinachi Waymaker. And we're trusting God as a waymaker in our children's lives as they are writing their examinations, starting from today, especially our matriculants. I wanted to share some things there from Churchill Seladule. It seems like I will be getting an old file, but I wanted to share something new that you would hear from the day Churchill Seladule. But now I don't know, technology is failing me, but I love technology regardless. I love technology. And I see you, Natasha Barnes. Hello, my queen, again. Awesome song, my queen. Thank you so much for that. And let me see if this one will agree with us. Let's see if this one will agree with us before I go to something, a talk that we had with him, an old one, but the news in that don't get old. Let's see if this one works.
Genesis 8 is up at the end of the rain, God says, come out from the ark.
No, it's not working out, no, the way I want it to, but hey, it is technology after all. Alrighty then, let's do this. Let's go to an old talk that I had with Churchill Seladule, and very soon we will be talking to the man directly. So excited. The worship encounter is on the 10th of November 2024 at Pumulandi Lodge in Pretoria. It is hosted, brought to you by Radio Pulpit. IMS International Marketplace Summit, together with Pumulani Lodge on the 10th of November. And yes, it's featuring Churchill Seladule from South Africa, Apostle Glenda Wright McCallum from the USA. And the event highlights training and education for worship team leaders, and to also equip ourselves for impactful worship leadership. So hey, this is something that you don't want to miss. Let's take these and hear what from the talk that I had with Churchill it's an old one, but not too old, hey. It was actually on my birthday.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM.
It is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 657 AM. This is where you at. Gave you beautiful music there from Abangobi. It's not over, and it will never be over unless the Lord says so. But he hasn't said that. So do not give in. Do not give up. Family, unfortunately, I'm not live today. Yes, I've gone out to celebrate my birthday. I'll be live next time. And so we'll see you next time. But hey, family, I hope that all is well with you. And unfortunately, I won't be able to take your calls nor your comments today. But I'll make sure that next time I'm live, and I make sure that I miss you too today. Well, do remember that I'm with you up until 3 o'clock right here on Heart to Heart on 657 AM on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And at 3 o'clock, we have Germany Yawnels with Something Else. Now joined by Minister Churchill Seladule on the other side. Excited. Can't wait to hear what the Lord has in store for us. How are you doing, Minister Churchill? How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you? And also greetings to the family. In Jesus' name.
This is yet another day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. God remains good in it. Even in this day, he remains being God and being good. And so we are going back to worship. And I said to the family, when we started with Minister Churchill Seladule, we started focusing the message on those that are ministering in our churches, those that are ministering through song. In, you know, they have the ministry of song, but they are worship. They are called to worship and praise God. And we now grew it. We blew it to the whole church, to the whole body of Christ, those who have received Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I said, because you are in that ministry of being one who leads us in worship, one who is a minister in song. So the message will keep on going back and coming back to, you know, know, the full body of Christ. So where are we going today?
You're accurate with that. From where we started, the focus was more on the worship leading aspect, and then we brought it back to its biblical intent. But obviously, because, you know, we are mindful that those who lead it have got to live it better than those that they lead.
Mm.
Because you can't effectively lead people to a place you are not familiar with.
You don't know that place.
Exactly. You know, so that's why even though we're talking to the whole, you know, Christian family, but we'll always keep on throwing back some key principles for the worship leaders, the music ministers, because ultimately they are the ones that are given the privilege. I have to state, it's not a right. It's not because you can sing. It's a privilege that the congregation, you know, give to us as worship leaders to lead them. Watch it now. In worship, that at times they live better than us. So you see what I mean? Hence, it's such an enormous responsibility for worship leaders, to actually do whatever we can to advance ourselves, deepen our knowledge in this subject. Because it's not everybody you lead in worship that don't know what's supposed to happen now. You know, and worst case scenario in our nation, as I observe, just cast my eye, the landscape of worship teams. Most worship teams members are young people. People, some of them, they don't even have that deeper experience in the walk with God. But you're leading a congregation that has got, like, people whose faith in God will lead each other, like, your mouth open, like, wow, there's people who know God like this. And yet, in a faith set up, they give us the privilege to lead them. You see what I mean? That's why then we keep coming back to the worship leaders, the worship team, the musicians. It's not that we are picking on them, you know, but we're trying to serve as a catalyst to say, you guys, because you are ahead in terms, you are in front on the stage, you also need to be much deeper in your knowledge and understanding of the subject. Yeah, so today, what's in my heart, I wanted to talk about a subject that I know it has not been touched a lot within the space of worship, the rationality of worship. I want to talk about the rationality of worship, you know, because a lot of people, when they get to experience the demands of worship, this is where discouragement kicks in. You know, but no. It's irrational for you to expect that I just got fired at work on Saturday, but I must come to church and sing with joy. It's irrational that I just buried my loved one over the weekend, but I must come to the house of the Lord and not forsake the gathering as the scripture instructs. It's irrational, Ausmondile. You know, you people are unrealistic. You are in denial. It's irrational for me to explode in thanksgiving, and yet there's no food in the fridge. You know, it's irrational for you to expect me to shout hallelujah and bless the Lord, and yet I don't have money to go to school or to go to work the next day. That's the reason why. The reason why worship does not explode in a gathering as it should. It's because we harbor, you know, some thoughts about the rationality. You know, and now let me go back now and build this case very well.
All right.
Yes, on Saturday we spoke about God saying to Abraham, take now your son, your only son whom you love. Go and sacrifice him on the mountain, I will show you. That's Genesis 22, verse 2. How irrational was God's request to Abraham?
Yeah. One can say, an unfair. That was an unfair call.
How can you all expect me to lift up my hands in gratitude to the Lord? And I just got divorced. You know, how can this God kill my mother and then expect me to give him thanks? Thank you for what? Y'all are unrealistic. This whole worship thing, you know, I want to deal with that today. I want to deal with that today. So that we understand that the rationality of worship, watch it now, family, the rationality of worship is not based on what you get or what you lose.
Okay.
It's based on who God is. despite your gains or your losses.
So you worship now, him in spite, regardless.
And I'm going to show that the rationality of worship is not determined by anything on us, but it's determined by everything on him, on who he is. The moment we understand who God is, your worship will transcend rationality. You know, you worship in a way that leaves people asking themselves, is she not the one who just lost a job? Is she not the one who was trending on social media that he or she got divorced? Yes, I'm the one. But there's something that I know that makes all those things that make you not to praise, that makes them, that makes them minor reasons, things that can hinder me. Because for as long as our worship, watch it now, is based on your worshiping God for what he has done for you, your worship is in trouble.
For only the good.
It's in trouble. Because now, what if you, like the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, what if God is not gonna turn off the fire? You know, and when you worship him because we are preaching lead, what if his will is not to preach again little?
Yeah, you have to go through that fire. Sure.
But he wants to glorify himself through you, in them little. What if his will? And here you are like Mary and Martha, John 11. You are praying to God, our brother, let us speak. And wherever he is, Jesus said, let him die for the glory of God. How then do you worship a God who did not save your brother when he had the power to heal other people? John chapter 9, the disciples of Jesus, they're working with Jesus, and they see a man who was born blind. They ask Jesus, who sinned? His mother, his parents, or him? Jesus said, no.
None of the above.
His parents didn't sin. This was because, so that the glory of God may be manifest. Wait a minute, Jesus. What are you saying is irrational. You're crazy now. Wait a minute. How can God give me a blind, crippled, disabled child so he can get glory? What kind of a God is this? And now, alongside the rationality of worship, I also want to deal with the concept that I call the glory meter.
The what? The glory meter.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a concept that I know that it's not out there, but it's so biblical, it will bless your heart. Okay. The glory meter speaks of God allowing certain things to befall us as his children.
All right.
So that he can get maximum glory from our lives.
Okay.
And the two scriptures I just quoted, John chapter 9 and John chapter 11. Mm-hmm. In both instances, the unfortunate circumstances that befell the parents of the man who was born blind and the sisters of Lazarus, the net benefit, it was the glory of God. Jesus said, nobody sinned. So finally, there are certain things that are going to befall you, not because you have sinned. Let us not be quick to be sin conscious, but to be glory minded.
Okay.
God is there glory for you in this thing that I'm going through. You know, it's not everything that happens to us that is because we have sinned. Certain things, they happen because God is generating glory for himself. Because he said, the Bible in Revelation 4, verse 11, when the heavenly beings are worshiping the Father, the one who sits on the throne, they say, you are worthy to receive glory and praise, for you have created all things for your glory. So family, the job that you have is not for your pride, but it's for God's glory. The family that you have is not because it's not by might nor power that your marriage is still intact. It's for God's glory. So now Jesus said to the disciples, our friend Lazarus is sick. He gets a message that Lazarus is sick. And now in his response to the message, he says, This sickness is not unto death. He said, it's not unto death, but to the glory of the Lord.
Sure.
So he did not say Lazarus is not going to die. Don't misread Jesus' family. Don't put your words in Jesus' mouth. I know that I'm going to get you to think now. Jesus never said Lazarus is not going to die.
He said this sickness is not unto death.
The end part of this story is not
death. Mm. He did not say death is not part of the story.
Mm.
You see, this is why we need to be careful when we read the Word of God, so that we don't inject our ideas, you know, to try and make sense, and yet the Bible is as clear as it is. Jesus said, it will not end in death.
Mm.
Meaning, even if death can come, death is not the final chapter. The final chapter is the glory of God.
Mm.
Oh, listen, family, no matter what it is that you are going through, you know, I want you to understand today by the Spirit of God that whatever you're going through, it won't end in suicide. It won't end in depression.
Mm.
It won't end in anxiety.
Mm.
All things work together for the good.
Mm.
You know, Mary and Lazarus, Mary and Martha did not see what God was working together with the sickness and the death of their brother.
Mm.
So Jesus, now, this is how glorimeter works. Glorimeter says, God does not answer our prayers based on what we want, but he answers our prayers based on the level of glory he will get from answering our prayers.
Now, let me ask Minister Churchill, as we're talking and looking at the glorimeter, and I'm going through a certain situation in my life, and I would like to know if this is the glorimeter situation, circumstance, that where God is going to glorify himself, or should I be asking the Lord about it, or what should I be doing? Because I think it's easier to just say, Lord, Lazarus, your friend is sick. Because
Lord,
sometimes
because sometimes
we pray and we pray and we pray and we declare and we stand on the word, but the situation keeps going down and down instead of it rising and changing. And I think that was the situation and the circumstance that Martha and Mary found themselves. They forgot one thing. I remember that at some point the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord. But now, because now now Lazarus is sick, they don't even remember that he says, if you believe, you will see the glory. And that's why he asked them afterwards, didn't I say, if you believe? Now, what should I be doing? Because it's easier to just say, send a message to Jesus and say, eh, Pela Ziabuya, Lazarus is sick. Your friend is sick. So what should I be asking God? Is this one unto death, or what is it? Should I be asking?
I may not have the actual question that we should be asking, but I think based on the study, what we should be doing is to develop our faith in the character of God.
Okay.
Remember, even if Lazarus dies,
Even if I go through the fire, I will not bow. Okay.
I will not bow. Okay. I'm going back to the thing he proposed.
Okay.
Even if he does not save us, he is what he is.
Okay.
Worthy of the praise.
Okay.
Even if my marriage is not restored, even if my child is not saved,
Hold on unto your worship. You don't lose your praise. Okay.
You don't lose your prayer. Now, because I said I'm going to intertwine the glorimeter and the rationality.
Mm.
Now let's try and bring what we just talked about now into a biblical context, that we are theologically sound. In Genesis 29, we see the Bible is about the man by the name of Jacob, who had two wives, Leah, the one that he hated, and Rachel, the one that he loved. The Bible says when God saw that Leah was hated, God opened Leah's womb, and Leah kept on having children.
Mm.
She had the first son named Reuben. She said, my husband, no. Jacob never nagged her. She had the second son, she named him Simeon. She said, no, my husband will see my misery. Jacob never cared about her. She had the third son, she called him Levi, meaning to attach. She said, I've given him three sons. He's coming back to me. Jacob never nagged her. The Bible says, when she had the fourth son, she named him Judah. Mm. She said, this time, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. This is where rationality kicks in now. I will praise who? The Lord.
Mm.
Now, the word Lord carries five ideas. It says, it means the master, the owner, the ruler, the controller, the dictator. Mm. So Leah had a perspective about God, of who he is. Mm. That if he is Lord, he owns me. I'm his property. Ooh. Yes, understand it. I'm his property. He is not here for me, but I am here for him.
Right.
He is not here to fulfill my desire. Mm. But I'm just a prop in his purpose. Mm. Ooh. I'm a decoration in his house. Mm. So he can shift me anytime he wants. Mm. You see, it's not me who dictates what God should or should not do with my life. Mm. He's the one who dictates. And my posture has always been, yes, Lord. Mm. Not why, Lord. Who am I to question the Lord? Mm. You know, so every time we question, why me? Why me? It's because we have lost our biblical understanding of who he is. David means something before verse 1. He says, the earth is the Lord. Mm. And all that dwell in it.
Yeah.
Is the Lord. Meaning he owns us. Mm. He owns the man. Mm. He's the one who shifts it around. That's why the Bible says that the wealth of the unjust is laid up for the just. He's Lord. Mm. It's another fact that the world system is driven by the devil. But the devil is running the system. He does not own the resources. Mm-hmm. Those are the Lord. Mm. So he is Lord. Now, watch it. In what circumstances is Leah's praise breaking up? Mm. She's in a hostile marriage. Mm. She's living with a husband who hates her.
Hey, but.
A man she gave 3 children. Did, watch it. Leah tried to win Jacob's love with children while Rachel was enjoying Jacob's love without a child.
Ish.
How unfair is that family? How unfair is Leah's circumstance? And yet it's in that circumstance where the rationality of worship kicks in and Leah says, you know what? I'm actually a prop in God's purpose. Mm. God did tell my husband's grandfather, Abraham, that he will be the father of many nations. Mm. So maybe God is using me now. Ooh, there it is. Using me. Mm. How well do we sing these songs every Sunday? If you can use anything, Lord.
You can use me.
You can use me. Take my hand, Lord, and my feet. Now he's begging. You are complaining.
But there's a part we never allow him to do. Touch my heart. The touch my heart.
Yeah, touch my heart. Listen to me. We sing this song, family. Myself away. So when he's taking now, you again.
The thing is that Minister Churchill, when he does all of that, it's not pleasant. You know what Fred Hammond say? I know you know the song. Before he starts singing the song, he says, sometimes when you've been called to do things that are great for the Lord Almighty, it just ain't good. It's uncomfortable sometimes. So it's not good. And we have been conditioned to look at circumstances and situations that come into our life as though they are all coming from the enemy.
Yeah.
And that's why we never test the spirit. We are because it's like this, Chasimudim.
Yeah.
So it's not, and that's why the disciples will say, who sinned? Was it Nahana, the poor baby in the womb? Was it him?
How does he sin? You see, because we're looking for the devil, even where the Lord is in charge.
Yeah.
No, it's not the devil. It's the Lord's shovel.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
And that was Churchill Silatule, Minister Churchill Silatule. Such a great worshiper and a great worship leader. And that is a talk we heard with him last year when it was my birthday. Yeah. Now I see Mekerolane Tselapedi saying happy birthday to me. Thank you. It's still my birthday until the end of October. So, yeah, that is Churchill Silatule. And he is the one who will be coming to teach on the 10th of November at the Worship Encounter at Camille's Drift, Pumulani Lodge, and everything starts at 1 o'clock. So 1 o'clock, it's lunchtime. 2 o'clock, we start. There are going to also be workshops. You're a worshiper? Don't miss this time. You're a worship team at a church? Don't miss this awesome time. You're going to go back stronger, wiser, and more filled, yeah, with empowered. Can I just put it there? Yeah, just empowered with the word, and you're going to do amazing in your space as a worshiper. So I see Robertson is asking questions. The meaning of the names of Jacob's children. Please come on the 10th of November at Pumulani Lodge, Camille's Drift. It's a free event brought to you by Radio Pulpit and the International Marketplace Summit in Pumulani Lodge, brought to you for free. You don't pay a thing. So you can call, contact Zandile on 012-334-1231 and find out more about that. So, Robinson, come and get your responses, get your answers there at the Worship Encounter on the 10th of November.
Share the love. Share the truth. Share the life on 657 AM.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012-334-1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion through thick and thin. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.